Right, and the talk tonight by Colonel Fossum is going to be happening at 7 o'clock at the Dole Auditorium, and he's going to be talking about a report from the International Space Station. Colonel, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm great. It's great to be here.
Did you, like at the age of 5, want to be an astronaut?
It was a little later than that, but I grew up watching them. I was born 2 months after Sputnik, the first man-made object to orbit the Earth, and grew up watching it and dreaming about it like all of us did back then.
So how do you get into the program? What was the trick? What was the real break you got?
It's a long haul for me. The background was engineering and the Air Force. I went in the Air Force, did flight tests in the Air Force, and so kind of put it all together. For me, eventually, we have people from the sciences, geology, chemistry, physics, medical doctors, test pilots, lots of different backgrounds.
How did you go from being an engineer when one of your first jobs was to evaluate the Russian spacecraft that was supposed to be used as an emergency vehicle to get out of the space station? How did you move from that to becoming an actual astronaut who went on missions?
Well, it was finally selected. I began applying. My first jobs in the Air Force were working at NASA and then working in flight test. And I eventually, after 14 years, I came back to NASA and to work. That's when I was working with the Russians in a very, for me, I was a cold warrior. And now I'm in technical exchange meeting with the Russians as we're beginning our cooperation. I applied as an astronaut along the way 7 different times over 13 years before I was finally selected.
Wow.
But I wasn't waiting. I was, working hard, doing my best to support the program along the way.
Why do you think you weren't taken earlier?
I think maybe I just wasn't ready yet. They threw me back in to grow a little more.
Uh-huh.
Hard to say.
All right. So your first mission was in what year?
2006. I launched on Space Shuttle Discovery as part of one of the return-to-flight missions after the accident.
Okay. Boy, that must have been scary, huh?
Everybody was a little more tense than usual. When you're sitting on 4 million pounds of explosives, if you're not a little bit concerned, you ought to be.
Yeah. You better be pretty darn confident at the same time, too.
Yep, absolutely.
How did you get over that mental hurdle?
For me, it was the culmination of a dream I'd had since childhood. I'd never really thought it would happen, but later I personalized it and believed that it was possible for me. I worked at NASA before I was an astronaut. I know the people that build the rockets in Florida and prepared them for flight. I'm very close friends with many people in mission control. I've worked in mission control. So I understand, and I understand what's going on, and I know that the people that are making the decisions that are keeping us safe.
Mm-hmm. But how did you get over that fear?
You don't completely. You just the fear is overcome by trust. And a belief in what we were doing. I believe it's important. I believe it's important for our country to be pursuing the exploration of space, to this international partnership with the space station program, 15 nations working peacefully together for a common goal. I think that's important, and I'm willing to accept the risk associated with that.
What's the feeling, experience like when that space shuttle first lifts off?
It's kind of outrageous, as you feel that you can be very philosophical about it. You can be very professional in your training, but the 12-year-old boy is definitely awake when you feel the engines come rumbling to life. The spaceship starts to rumble and to sway a little bit, and then suddenly you start moving and you feel the forces building as you're burning. As you're just tearing your way into the sky, burning fuel, getting lighter, so accelerating more quickly, and it's a very, very, indescribable feeling as that keeps growing for 8 to 9 minutes, and suddenly the engines cut off and you're in space, you're in orbit.
Wow. Was there any part of you that, when that started to rumble, you said, "Get me out of here"?
Every time. I've launched 3 times, 2 times on the space shuttle and 1 time 3.5 years ago on a Russian Soyuz rocket. Each time, as we're strapping in and getting down toward the bottom of the count, I thought to myself, what have I gotten into?
And it's a little late at that point, isn't it?
It's a little late at that point. Now, I'm not saying get me out of here. I'm just saying, boy, here we go. Especially the Russian rocket. It was pretty outrageous. We launched from Yuri Gagarin's launch pad. He had launched from the same pad 50 years before us.
Wow.
And here we are. The Russians don't throw anything away. They're very pragmatic. They improve it. They learn from it. They grow. And that one was also different because I wasn't just leaving for a two-week mission. I was leaving for a mission that lasted almost 6 months.
Wow. All right. Being on the International Space Station is the worst part about it is what?
Being away from my family. I'm blessed with a wife and four children and now three grandchildren. The first grandchild was born just 3 weeks before I left the United States. And so that was kind of a hard thing to let that little princess go as I headed off to finish the final training. So it's that isolation from family is probably the worst. The second thing is just the difficulty. I mean, zero gravity, at times it's a lot of fun. You can fly through the spaceship. Other times it's a pain because you drop a tool and it doesn't go to your feet where you can find it predictably.
Uh-huh.
It can go off in any direction, and then you're searching for that tool.
Right. Do you speak Russian?
Not well, but I do.
Okay. I would think you'd have to have
That's
some...
That's a requirement. Yeah. That was the hardest part. Rocket science is easy.
Okay. It's the Russian that'll
kill. Oh, absolutely.
And the conjugating all those darn verbs that'll kill you.
You're familiar with it. You betcha.
No, I'm not, frankly. And nor am I planning
it. It's a very complex, a very precise language, but if you say it wrong, they don't understand you.
Yeah, and there are probably 17 different words for rocket, too.
There's a lot of different ways to say it. But it was actually part of the wonder of it, because I, when I was in elementary school, we had the nuclear bomb drills. We literally went to the hall and covered our heads. And now I'm walking across Red Square, speaking Russian with Russians, going in and out of shops, riding the subway system, and I really enjoy being over there. And I I have friends in Russia with whom I trust my life. We've got our problems right now, and they're significant. At the national level, but the space station program is something that we do work together on, and we do our best to ignore what's going on in other aspects to concentrate on the mission we have at hand. Right now, we have three Russians, two Americans, and one Italian living on the space station. We've got to keep those people safe. We've got to keep them supplied. We're preparing for three of them to come home, and we've got three of them preparing to... two Russians and one American preparing to launch later in March, and that will be the first 1 year mission for the space station. One Russian and one American will be up there for a full year.
We're talking with Colonel Mike Fossum. He's a NASA astronaut. We'll be speaking this evening at Norwich University. 7 o'clock is part of the Todd Lecture Series. 7 o'clock at the Dole Auditorium. What's the relevance of the space program today, the space program and also the International Space Station? What are we learning today that we need to learn?
Yeah, what we're doing today, there's several different aspects. For the space station, a big part of it is the research. It's built as a national laboratory. We have four major laboratories on the space station, the main American ones, as well as Russian, Japanese, and European Space Agency. We've completed over 2,000 different scientific investigations, published many, many papers. We're finding out information about life on Earth, things like osteoporosis, kidney stones. We've developed candidate vaccines for Salmonella and MRSA have been developed because of the unique aspects of the way the bacteria behave in zero-G, more virulent for reasons we do not completely understand. We're developing on the space station. We're using the space station as a test bed also for the kind of systems we need to extend humans' reach beyond Earth. We need reliable systems for cleaning the water, recycling the water from the urine, and doing that with systems that you can trust for a two-year mission to Mars and back. We're laying those. We have quite an extensive roadmap now for proving the technologies we'll need to go further into space. We're also open for business. We have a lot of commercial partners that we do research for through an organization called CASIS, run out of Florida. That where people will come in and test out different products because they can learn things testing them in zero-G that they cannot do in the labs on the ground. So there's a lot of work going on. It's an exciting time.
Let me take a couple of calls. Let's go to Huntington. Brenda, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Vermont. Mark, I just wanted to tell your listeners that there is a fantastic television network called the NASA TV, and it's put out by NASA. I've been a space nick since the Mercury era, and about 15 years ago, I realized that the NASA channel could be had on my satellite, so I finally got it, and I just want to tell your listeners it's on 24/7. It is hugely interesting. It would show live all the shuttle launches, all the Russian launches. It shows live all the spacewalks. There was a very interesting spacewalk day before yesterday. Hmm. And when you watch it on a routine basis, you get to know the astronauts and the cosmonauts. And it's just an absolutely fantastic television network. And I strongly advise your listeners, if they're at all interested in space or if they have kids interested in space, they call their satellite and get it on because it's awesome.
Have you ever seen any classic shows with Mike on it?
Yes, I have. I think I have. I mean, I think I know what he looks like.
Is he? Well, thanks for supporting NASA TV, and you have. I usually do an interview associated with the rollout. I go to most of the launches in Kazakhstan. I'm involved there. I've also done interviews from Mission Control, not to mention a whole lot of them from space from over 3 years ago.
Very good. I think one of the most exciting spacewalk was years ago when Mike Massimino and his gang were up repairing the Hubble, and it was happening over Christmas. And somehow the way the sunlight was hitting the Hubble telescope, it was sort of this golden color, and they were opening these doors, and they were going in there, and it was just completely fantastic. It was better than any sci-fi movie I've ever seen.
Mm.
So there you go. Have a good time in Norwich.
Thanks, Brenda, for your call.
Right here.
Bye-bye.
Let's head over to Cabot. And you do look exactly like George Clooney, right?
Not quite.
Okay. All right. Let's head over to Cabot. Tony, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Colonel. I have two quick questions. One might seem a little morbid, but it's just curiosity. You know, you guys have contingencies for virtually any event. So in the event that someone expires, should expire...
Right.
Do you guys just shoot them off toward the sun, or do you bring them back? Or
God, I didn't even think of that question.
Well, Tony, that's not a question I get asked often.
Wow.
Bravo.
You get coffee next time I see you, Tony.
Buy that man a coffee. We do have body bags on orbit because you've got to. I mean, we do have to be prepared for that, and. They would not. We wouldn't be shooting them toward the sun. We also don't have a way to get them home, so they will be. They'll be a shooting star.
Ah, and then my second question is: I want you to fess up now. All of these videos that we see, they're really filmed in Los Angeles in a big hangar, right?
God.
And so I want to know.
Right now, I'm taking the coffee.
Mickey Mouse.
I'm taking the coffee back now for that question.
Yeah, take the coffee back.
Wow.
No. Sorry. We're not hiding the alien videos either. There are none.
Okay. Well, it's something to think about, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, so let me get a clarification on this body thing. So you launch a body out of the space shuttle, but not necessarily towards the sun?
Yeah, let's just not go there. We've got contingency plans. That would be a tough thing, but we are ready for it.
Okay. All right. Have you seen the movie Marooned?
No.
Oh, come on. You haven't seen the movie Marooned, where they get stuck out and the Russians come and save them and they run out of air? You haven't seen that movie? Come on.
Oh, I've got to put that on the list.
I can't believe
it.
Somehow
I've missed it.
Claustrophobic inside the International Space Station or not?
I don't think so, but we're actually tested for that as part of the selection process. It's roomy, about the volume of 12 school buses or the internal volume of a 747.
All right.
So there's, right. I mean, if you got to get out in the woods and go for a walk by the lake, then this is going to be a little harder. I do enjoy running in the woods, and I spent time doing that before I left and kind of locking in the memories and the smell of the forest soil under my feet and the feel of the sunshine on my face. And as I'm running on a treadmill in a tin can for 6 months, I tried to put myself back in those woods.
All right, let's take a call from another budding astronaut. Allison, good morning.
Good morning, and welcome to your guest. I have a question, and that is, have you ever heard of the Congress of Future Science and Technology Leaders? that takes place in Boston?
No, I have not. Tell me more.
My son is a junior in South Burlington High School, and he's always wanted to fly, and he's been selected to go to this conference in Cambridge, Mass. With Buzz Aldrin and others, and I'm just trying to figure out if it's a legit program or not. And ironically, as we speak, because he so much wants to fly, they're on vacation this week, and he's over at our Vermont Army National Guard at the Air Guard, looking at the F-15s there and whatnot. But I just didn't know if this is a program that had come across your radar screen before.
Nope, sorry, I could not. I do have some friends in the Boston area that might know about it, but I can't comment on it. I know that going to the Air Guard is a great thing for him to do, is to, you know, be introduced to the to the actual career field, and it's something that that whether he chooses to go into that or not, it's a great thing to know more about, and for you know, for young boys of any age, whether they're although, you know, 12 to 52, you know, going up and seeing jets is an exciting thing.
You got less than a minute here. Hardest part about the selection process was what?
Patience, keeping my faith, keeping my eye on the goal, and enjoying the trail, because there's a lot of disappointments, and I enjoyed what I was doing. I had no regrets about what I was doing, whether I was selected as an astronaut or not selected as an astronaut. I enjoyed working in this human space program, supporting the missions. I love doing it myself, but I think it's a great endeavor. It's good for our country. It's good for our world.
Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it very much. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Mark.
That's Colonel Mike Fossum, NASA astronaut. He'll be speaking tonight at Norwich University, 7 o'clock at the Dole Auditorium. And his talk will be a report from the International Space Station. Coming up on the program tomorrow, I'll be down at the State House. This will be our final broadcast from there before town meeting day. Then they'll be off next week. We'll be back again the following Friday. Hope you join us tomorrow. Hope you have a great rest of the day. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush. And the flagship AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier News is next.